up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. It's Thursday, September 19th, 09-19-19. That's a special day. And as a result, we got a special podcast for you. Jaguars, Titans, Thursday Night Football. Jared Dubin here to break it all down. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I feel like every single year there is a Jaguars-Titans Thursday night game that nobody wants to talk about, but we wind up talking about anyway.
It's actually in the NFL's broadcasting contract with Fox. They have to go to Jacksonville. They have to do a Jaguars-Titans game or Tennessee, wherever it is. It's terrible every year. I mean, look, this feels a little jaded. I don't want to be the jaded journo here, but, you know, cause it's like, hey, look, it's football. You know, if it was March, this might be our March 15th game or like our May 15th game where it's like, man, I would kill for some football on my TV right now. It's like, would you, okay, fine. You really want football? And would you be willing to watch Titans Jaguars Thursday night with Gardner Minshew versus, Marcus Mariota while Jalen Ramsey trade rumors swirl? And on May 15th, I would say, hell yeah, shoot it in my veins. Right now, I'm like, I don't know if I would say that. I don't know if I want this on May 15th.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah. Like in the middle of the NFL season, I don't want this. I'd rather be able to watch. I think there's like some college football games on tonight, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, two games on maybe. Who knows? So I'd rather watch like a crazy college game. Houston, Tulane. Okay, I'm lying. That's a lie. This game's not exciting to watch, but we're going to talk about it anyway. DFS is, we can play DFS games. We can gamble on it. And look, you know, it's going to matter in the grand scheme of things, particularly in the AFC South, I think, because, you know, at the end of the day, look, both these teams are still in the race and, I don't know.
Yeah, let's pour one out for the AFC South being a competent division. It lasted all of 2 years.
Yeah,
we're back to
really
the regular AFC South now. Like, Andrew Luck retired. The Texans traded 47 draft picks this offseason. Nick Foles is hurt. Jalen Ramsey wants out. The Titans looked good in week one and horrible in week two. Like, we're back to normal.
How much do you think, Dubin, by the way, follow Dubin at JADubin5 on Twitter. How much do you think that this Jalen Ramsey stuff is going to matter in the context of the game? And we're putting this out on Thursday so we can say it. We might look bad. Who knows? But it's possible, I think, that the Jaguars don't play him and make him inactive. Cause if I was trading Jalen Ramsey on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, whatever it is, or even Monday, I'm not playing him this week. If he breaks his leg in this game or fractures his hand or you know, rips a toenail off, you can't trade him cause he's not going to be able to play for the team that acquires him for multiple first round picks. Your thoughts?
I don't know. I feel like he's going to want to play because he's still on the Jaguars roster and it might like inflame things even further and sort of lower his trade value if they don't play him somehow.
True. He cannot play, by the way, for another team on Sunday if he plays for the Jaguars on Thursday, in case anybody was wondering.
Right. But he can play tonight and then he would just not play if he gets traded tomorrow. Which seems like everybody's saying that's like what's going to happen. So I think it'll be interesting.
I'm just saying, like in baseball,
is there any chance he doesn't hold Corey Davis to like -4 catches tonight?
Well, no, there's not. I guess there's a small chance. We'll talk about that in a second. While we're on it, the AFC South odds, according to the Las Vegas Westgate, aka Superbook USA, they tried to change their name. It hadn't worked out. The Titans are 5-2 to win the division. The Colts are 5-2. Texans are 6-5. So, you know, you're basically, you know, 2.5 +250. Texans are the favorite here. And then the Jaguars are 12-1. Is there anybody you would bet on to win that division?
I wouldn't want to waste my money betting on any of these nonsense teams, honestly.
I would take the Colts, but not at this number. Cause like the Colts are basically what they were when they had Andrew Luck before he retired. And you could have gotten him at 4-1. So if you believed in Jacoby Brissett, you should have just taken it before the season. Like you shouldn't be believing in Jacoby Brissett as the answer now that we're 2 weeks into the year. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. I can't bet on the Jaguars at 12-1. That's crazy talk, even though in a weird division. I wouldn't bet on this.
This is why I just would say no thanks.
Yeah, like I'm not taking the Texans as favorites when I've watched Deshaun Watson get pummeled week in and week out. I'm not doing that.
That's basically what happens with them though, right? Like yeah. That happened last year too.
I mean, if you're going to take the Texans, you should have taken them at 4-1.
before the season.
Right, before Andrew Luck retired. And then they were like, yeah. I don't mind the Titans, actually, because I think the Titans, in the words of, to, you know, paraphrase Denny Green, they are who we think they are. You know, I think the Titans are just sort of the Titans. Am I crazy?
No, I mean, they seem exactly like the Titans, so. Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Well, let's talk about when the Titans have the football in this game. What have you seen from Marcus Mariota through two games? Anything that makes you believe that this Titans offense can be more efficient than it has been in years past, or that Marcus Mariota can be the guy who is deserving of, I don't want to say a top-level contract, but a mid-level contract from somebody?
Not really. I mean, it was pretty encouraging in week one. They were, you know, using more play action. They were throwing the ball down the field a little bit more often than usual. Like, he threw four passes over 20 yards in there in the first week of the season. And even if you take out the 75-yard catch and run on that screen to Derrick Henry in week one, I mean, he still averaged 7.3 yards per attempt on all of his other passes, which is pretty good. And then, of course, last week against the Colts, he's at 5.5 yards of attempt, and he's basically just checking down on every throw. It's, you know, what we've seen from Marcus Mariota the past couple of years. It's just the inconsistency that's so baked into their offense, a lot of it really just comes from him not consistently doing the kind of things that you need a quarterback to do to be a good offense in the NFL these days.
What do you think of Derrick Henry? Arthur Smith, their new play caller, has, I think, actually been pretty impressive in terms of, you know, making this team, like, he's actually transformed them into the team that they sort of wanted to be. I'm not saying it's efficient from a modern NFL standpoint, but they are, you know, they are feeding Derrick Henry the ball. I mean, he's got 34 carries. It's not crazy. They're not overloading him. He's got 34 carries through two games for 165 yards and two touchdowns. Hadn't rushed for more than 20 yards on a carry, but he's averaging 4.9 yards a carry and 82.5 yards per game. He's got the same number of targets in the passing game as Deion Lewis. Is Derrick Henry and he has a receiving touchdown too, obviously, as you point out, 75 yarder. Is he a viable, like, RB1 now? Has he sort of morphed into, like, for fantasy and real life purposes? I mean, has he kind of become a bell cow back that we wanted him to be, but without really being exposed? I don't know what to make of this. I don't know. I don't even know how to frame this. Like, this team is just, they're going to win 8 or 9 games. They're going to be so boring the whole entire way. And Derrick Henry may or may not be a fantasy starter, right? Like, where are we at with this guy?
Yeah. I mean, that seems essentially exactly right. Like, it seems like they want to get him the ball a lot. They are getting him the ball a lot, but not sort of overloading him the way you see teams that are, quote unquote, you know, want to establish the run doing. I think their run blocking has been very good so far, though. They're sixth in adjusted line yards at Football Outsiders, which is a big improvement over last year. And they're doing that without Taylor Lewan, who was suspended for the first four games of the season. So that's, I think, a really good sign for their run game the rest of the way. And I do think they are the kind of team that needs the run game to be effective, just because Mariota is so inconsistent. And if they can base their offense around something that, where, you know, they know at least that that's going to be effective, there's not as much of a correlation between run game effectiveness and play action effectiveness as is commonly believed, but it still is beneficial to have a good run game if your quarterback is inconsistent. At least it's something you can rely on to be, you know, in good situations. So even if your quarterback is inconsistent, he's inconsistent in a way that's not necessarily quite as damaging as if he's always working from behind.
Yeah, man. I just don't know. I thought AJ Brown looked really good in their first round pick looked really good in week one.
Yep.
Corey Davis, I mean, are we giving up on this guy? Where are we at? Where are we at with him?
I don't know that we're giving up on him.
This is his third year. I mean, like, John Ross finally came around. Those guys were in the unfortunate position of still being in the time frame when we believed that every first round pick was going to be Odell Beckham, you know?
Right. I mean, look, Corey Davis still has a lot of talent. He's still a big guy with a wide catch radius. And, you know, we saw last year that when he's at his best, he can look pretty good. I think a lot of it is, like, his skill set. A lot of the times it's going to be those intermediate and deep passes. And that's not really his quarterback's strength. That's why you see Delanie Walker getting the ball all the time. And now even, you know, Derrick Henry getting involved as a receiver. The thing I'm really surprised by with their offense is that, you know, Adam Humphries, who they paid whatever it was, like $11 million a year, and he turned down more money from the Patriots to go to the Titans because he was supposedly going to be a huge part of the offense. He has four targets in 2 weeks.
He's averaging 1.3 yards per reception. Why did you pay somebody that much money to average 1.3 yards per reception? What the hell?
Why did you pay him to average two targets a game?
Yeah, like, it's insane. I think it's 1.5 targets a game.
He's got four targets in two games.
All right, so. PFR has him down for three. Okay.
Oh.
No, he has 4 yards and three targets, I think.
Oh. That's not good.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah, even worse than I thought.
He's averaging slightly more receptions per game than he has yards per game. That's almost impossible to do.
I do think, like, in this particular game, though, the slot and over the middle is sort of where you want to attack this Jaguars defense. Like, you don't want to go at Jalen Ramsey. Mm. It sounds like people somewhat expect A.J. Bouye to actually suit up. You don't necessarily want to go at him either, even if he's coming off an injury. So you do kind of want to go to the slot and you want to go over the middle. That means Delanie Walker and that means, you know, potentially Adam Humphries. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe it means A.J. Brown, who's sort of a big slot guy in college and makes sense for that role in the NFL.
I could get down for that. All right. So maybe if you're doing DFS, would you – I mean, like, you could – like, if you want to win $1 million or win whatever
– I wouldn't want any part of this game in DFS.
No, but I mean, like, look, first of all, you better have – I'm saying, like, if you wanted to really create a lineup that is – you're going to be on an island, Adam Humphries is your captain in DFS.
Oh, yeah, I mean – yeah, I can't see why anybody else would put him in their lineup given what he's done.
Right, but maybe the answer is the slot, and they're just peppering Humphries with targets out of the slot because Bouye and Ramsey are on the outside.
AJ
Brown.
It definitely could be, but it could be, AJ Brown in the slot. It could just be Delanie Walker the whole game, you know?
Yeah, maybe Delanie Walker is the answer at captain. Okay, that's enough talk about the Jaguars or the Titans. What about when the Jaguars had the ball? Are they?
Yeah, this is more interesting, right? Like, it's the Gardner Minshew show.
Did you see that the adult website, whatever it was, offered Gardner Minshew $1 million to wear penis puppets?
I didn't, but I mean, given everything that's gone on with that dude, that's like the third weirdest thing that's been offered to him probably.
It's let's see if I can find I tweeted about it. Oh goodness, I've lost it now. Here it is. Adult entertainment site Cam Soto sent a letter to Gardner Minshew. Their Darren Parker, their vice president, it said they announced the launch of Cam Soto Fit, an online fitness program, live streaming group classes taught by several adult entertainment stars, including Kelsey Monroe, among others. They want to offer Gardner Minshew the opportunity to teach one, to lead a weekly exercise class that you can live stream from the comfort of home or the locker room. Our only requirement is that you incorporate band workouts into your class and do them in a jockstrap and or naked. Furthermore, since Halloween is fast approaching, we'd love for you to be the official brand ambassador of our penis puppet line, which we launched in 2017. The knit costumes that fit over your penis and balls, I keep believing I'm reading this, are available in several styles, a watermelon, elephant, and vampire. This year they're also unveiling a jaguar, so that's exciting. And if he accepts, he can get up to $1 million. First of all, Dubin, would you accept that offer? Would you lead a weekly workout video naked from your house and be the brand ambassador for penis puppets for $1 million.
I don't know if anybody would want me to do that.
I'm just saying, would you do it? Cause like we asked, would people eat dog food for a year for $20 million? Would you be willing to lead a naked workout class for $1 million? Cause I think I would, but I wouldn't be.
Nobody's going to take my class. So why not? Like, it's just, I'm on the camera. Nobody's watching anyway. Like, so sure.
That would be kind of depressing though. You're like live streaming. You're like, you know, you do Periscope and it's like, so-and-so has joined the class. It's like two people have joined the class. You're like, all right, who are you? Two people, first of all.
Honestly, I feel like two would be pretty high in terms of the expectations. I feel like it would be zero.
Okay. That's probably true. All right. From a football perspective, what do you think is Gardner Minshew good?
I don't know if he's necessarily good. I think that he is better than anybody could have reasonably expected given where he was taken in the draft. You know, he was not nearly as good last week as he was the week before. Some of that is, you know, teams have more time to prepare for him. I think the most encouraging thing for me about him though is that he is spreading the ball around a ton. He's not locked in on one guy. and with young quarterbacks, and in particular guys who are not necessarily expected to be the starters and are sort of coming off of, you know, the backup job or the practice squad, they tend to lock on to one guy and sort of zero in and force the ball to the guy that they're most comfortable with. He's not doing that at all. I mean, he's got six different guys with at least seven targets. DJ Chark, 11, D.D. Westbrook, 11, Fournette, 10, Chris Conley, 10, the tight ends, James O'Shaughnessy and Jeff Swaim, 8 and 7. I mean, that's a really good distribution, and that forces defenses to defend the entire field. And it's not just that he's throwing to all different guys, but he's throwing to all of those guys in different areas. Like in week one, he hit DJ Chark for a deep ball down the middle, and last week it was mostly targeting him to the sides. And, you know, it's similar things like that, and I think all of that is pretty encouraging.
That for sure. What do you think about Leonard Fournette? I thought he was going to have a bounce back season, and I don't know why I got suckered into the idea that Nick Foles was going to save him. But it does feel like he isn't quite there and might not quite get there just because of how this Jaguars offense is built.
Yeah, I mean,
would you buy low on him in fantasy?
I think I would because he's just been playing. He's on the field all the time. He doesn't come off the field. I think he's played like 92 or 93% of their snaps. He's run like 95% of possible routes or something like that. And that, in terms of fantasy, is very encouraging. And again, he's got, you know, 10 targets in 2 weeks from Gardner Minshew. And if he gets 5 targets a game, in addition to the presumptive, you know, rushing volume that he's going to get, then yeah, I think he'll be a good fantasy player.
All right. Do you think that Gardner Minshew can throw for more or less than 220.5 passing yards? That's his over under on FanDuel at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I'm going to go with the under here. The Titans have only allowed 365 passing yards in 2 games, and one of those games was against Baker Mayfield, who I would say is, you know, better than Gardner Minshew.
Sure. The other was against Jacoby Brissett, who's the best quarterback in football. So,
The back end of their defense, I think, looks really good. Kevin Byard has been great again. Kenny Vaccaro and Adoree Jackson both look like they're better this year. Logan Ryan's playing well. Malcolm Butler was really good in week one and then sort of terrible last week. Maybe they can pick on Malcolm Butler the entire game and hope that he's just like what he was last season. But I think they've looked very good so far. So I would say probably an under on the passing yards there, because I think they're going to try to make this the game where they go with Fournette, because Tennessee's run defense has not been nearly as good as the pass defense.
Their pass rush has been okay, but their run defense not that good. So they need Rashawn Evans to step up, I guess, is what where we're at here.
Yeah, I think so.
What about Marcus Mariota over under 197.5 passing yards?
Mariota,
by the way, for people wondering, has 248 in week one against Cleveland in a 43-13 win, and 154 in a 19-17 loss to the Colts. The under in this game is 39, and there's supposed to be like 15 mile per hour wind in Jacksonville all night and maybe some rain. How is this game going over? I mean, like somebody tweeted me, it was like, okay, look, the under's too easy, right? I was like, well, I don't think it's easy. It's an NFL game and it's 39, but yeah, I mean, I'm taking the under. I took the under at 40. I mean, how is this game going over 40 points, dudes?
I don't think it is. I'm with you. Yeah, I'd say it's not.
Is there any chance that Jacksonville as a home dog covers?
I think I had in my preview, which should be up on the site by now, I actually took the Jags to win.
Wow.
17-16.
Ugh.
So that's an under right there.
Yeah.
Neither one of these offenses is all that inspiring to me, and I just feel like weird stuff happens when they play each other, and I think it's definitely going to be a close, probably poorly played game. And I could definitely see either team winning. I just wound up going with the Jaguars for like
probably at home. I mean, just looking at the last two, you know, the Titans beat the Jaguars last year in early December, 30-9, at home, bloodbath. They beat the Jaguars, and that was on a Thursday. They beat the annual Thursday game. They beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville in week three last year with Blaine Gabbert, 9-6. Row.
9-6.
9-6. I guess technically the Jaguars lost 6-9, if you will. the Thursday game the year before. Oh, they didn't play on Thursday the year before. That's actually surprising. They played in 2017. They beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville 37-16. My goodness. That's a hammerjacking. And oddly enough, that was it Jacksonville? That was Jacksonville's AFC Championship game year. Huh.
In 17?
Yeah. And yeah, so they lost to the Titans 37-16 in week two and then went to the AFC Championship game. Both teams were beaten by the Patriots in the playoffs, by the way. Like every team in the playoffs.
Like I said, weird stuff happens when these teams play.
And then the Jaguars, also lost to the Titans in week 17, 15-10. So we could, I mean, history tells us it should go under. I think there's a chance that like Derrick Henry breaks some runs. Like there's some broken tackles that maybe we end up with a, with an over, but I'm with you. I don't see how you can lean. I don't see how you can lean.
Yeah, on the short week too, and like some of these guys are banged up coming in. Like DJ Chark was limited in practice, and he's sort of been their best receiver so far. Like maybe Marquise Lee comes back and takes over that role, but you know he's coming off an injury too. So I don't have much confidence in the offenses to begin with. And then you know the Titans, even though their offensive line has been good so far, they're missing their best offensive lineman. You know, and Mariota's so inconsistent. Even Derrick Henry has been extremely inconsistent throughout his career, even though he's looked good so far. I definitely do not see a lot of points being scored.
You look at this game too, and it's like usually on a Thursday around lunchtime when we're recording this, like the Action Network's public money will show like 10,000 bets because, you know, it's football. Everybody wants to bet on football. It's like 3,000 bets on this game. 66% of the bets are on the under, but only 59% of the money is on the under. So maybe there's a little sharp money on the over. Who knows? If you get 40 points, just tip your cap and say, good job, Marcus Mariota. Good job, Gardner Minshew. Good job by you, Jared Dubin. We previewed a game that not many people want to talk about, but we had fun doing it, and we'll be back on Monday to break down. Oh, good. Another scorcher, the Bears and the Redskins. Really fun times for us this week, Dubs.
Yeah, that one should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, can't wait to talk. Well, maybe Monday will be easier. Philly, Green Bay next week. So that's a good Thursday game. All right, we'll get excited for that. Talk to you on Monday, buddy.
Sounds good.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.